Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. If you're listening via our new Radio Plus iPhone app, did you know you can get detailed information about a stock by simply touching its symbol on the crawling stock ticker? If you don't have the Radio Plus iPhone app yet, you'll want to download it. It's free via the iTunes App Store.
Sean Egan with us from Egan Jones. The surprise, all eyes on Greece. And we see the yields in Spain just become impossible. Why are those yields higher in Spain?
The yields are higher because the market doesn't have confidence that Europe is on the right track, and perhaps there isn't a right track right now. It's not available to solve the credit problems in Europe. And Spain is the next target in the minds of a lot of investors.
Well, when you look at the show, us and the soap opera continues, what will you be looking for? You, more than anyone, has to get out in front of the rating dynamics, since you seem to be leading the trend with the other three ratings agencies. What are you watching for this week and in the next couple weeks?
I think whether or not Greece can form a government that can take the right steps to correcting its deep-seated governing problems. Bear in mind that in Greece, you need the support of about 10 different major groups to put the country back on track. Our view is that it's going to be fairly difficult, and that's why we believe that Greece right now can't shoulder any debt, and that it's just a matter of time before it's recognized by a broader percentage of the market.
Let me take you back to Spain, because for a while there we were hearing, no, in Spain it's different. It's a banking problem, not a sovereign problem. Well, apparently it's a banking problem and a sovereign problem, right?
Our contention is that banks and sovereign credit quality are joined at the hip. In fact, that has been the case over the past 2 years, with the exception of Iceland. In the case of the U.S., the U.K., Ireland, Italy, the list goes on and on about the banks getting support from the federal government. And in the case of Spain, obviously, that's also the case.
Okay, let me ask you to elaborate on what you said about the U.S. in there.
Well, the U.S. financial system has received massive support from the Fed and the Treasury over the past 4 years in terms of the zero interest rate loans, the broader backstopping of deposits, a variety of other the purchasing of depressed assets. The list goes on and on. I think there are about 17 different programs that government instituted.
Sean, there is an alphabet soup of solutions. One that really has my attention is the ERP program, which is essentially the anti-union program. Instead of a we are the world, we're all in this together, it says let's get back to Maastricht, take all the overarching debt, run it out 30 years or so in a sinking fund that's collateralized by each country. And all that means is let's go back to where we were 10 or 15 years ago. Is that nostalgia?
It's nostalgia, and getting from here to there is fairly difficult. Unwinding the EU is going to take a lot of time and money. Just in the case of Greece alone, you're talking about total exposures in the area of 1.3 trillion euros.
Yeah.
And assuming that you have recovery on that of, let's say, about 20%, where is the money going to come from for absorbing that? And that's the question that the market is. That's just one country.
Well, I do agree. When I look through the 25-page report on this grand ERP program, the so-called plug-ins are insurmountable, including 3% GDP.
It's amazing. And you're touching on GDP, really makes it that much more relevant. We count about four different types of debt, type one being the direct debt of the sovereign. Then you have to include the support given by the ECB and the EFSF. But if you add up all the type one through type four debt, you're talking about a huge amount of money. And it's not the question is, where is that going to come from? What is the solution? There's always a solution. It's just that there's a lot of pain between in getting to it.
Well, Spain, 10-year securities went over 7%.
Yes.
Earlier today. 7 was the number that triggered a couple of bailouts. Do we get one for Spain now?
We think that the number is a lot lower than 7%. If you have an economy that's not growing, which is the case with most of the Southern Europe, that I think that the number is probably closer to about 3 or 3.5%. And obviously, we're far greater than that. The question is, where are they going to get the funds to bail out the countries?
Are you ahead of the game? Do you wake up in the morning as the guy leading on ratings? Do you wake up and say, we're about where we should be? Or do you wake up and say, you know, we really got to get going. These companies are deteriorating even faster than our academic work.
It depends on which morning you're referring to.
That's how Ken and I feel.
Sometimes the thing that I worry about more than anything else is whether or not we have the direction right. And we've been bearish on the EU for quite some time. That has proven to be the right call. Last year, it was that we said that Greece is going to have to default and the recoveries are going to be minimal. And there's an article in Barron's about how we were bearish on the major European banks. We have another big call this year, and it seems to be playing out.
How do you rate a nation? What do you actually do?
There are several metrics that have been fairly dependable over time. Probably the one that a lot of people in our business point to more than any other is the debt to GDP. Unfortunately, for a number of countries, including the U.S., the debt to GDP has been rising. Another thing that you want to look at is underlying growth of the GDP, which gives you an assessment of whether or not the country can shoulder a lot more additional debt. And perhaps the third is the funding cost. The thought is how much it's going to cost to fund that debt.
Take Italy, which we've hardly talked about through our 4 hours here on Bloomberg Surveillance. Italy, is their issue debt or is their issue no growth?
It's a combination, and oftentimes these.
But I would suggest it's weighted to growth, given their history.
If you look at debt, their debt to GDP is north of 110%, and you also might want to throw in the mix the health of their banks. In the case of Italy, as a result of the programs of the ECB, a lot of the Italian banks hold the sovereign debt of the Republic of Italy. And so if one goes, the other goes.
You were talking earlier about Southern Europe and lack of growth. I want to ask about Italy because Italy's both northern and southern.
You're absolutely right. Unfortunately, the north isn't offsetting the problems of the south to the point where they can absorb a lot more debt. Italy will not grow over the next 12 months, it appears.
So is Italy next on the list after Spain?
I think that they're you might want to throw in Portugal, too. The three of them are in a race for the lead, and it seems like Spain is making more progress in slipping to the bottom than the others. But Portugal is, in terms of their yield, in terms of their credit quality, is probably weaker. It's just not in everybody's radar, on everybody's radar.
I asked you this question the other day. I think it bears repeating. Why are the other rating agencies behind you on the vector of poorer ratings?
The short answer is that their business model is completely different than ours.
But they're looking at the same data, right?
Yes, but you can make the argument that they are being paid. If you're being paid by the issuers, there's no advantage to being early and right.
Okay, so Standard & Poor's goes from a AAA down to a AA on, the First Republic of Egan. What do? Call up and say, we really hate this. We're not going to do business with you anymore?
Well, if you're in the lead in taking those downgrades, you're likely to incur the wrath of the sovereign country. In fact, in the case of Italy, both Fitch's and S&P's offices were raided by the Italian government.
This is important. They were physically raided.
That's correct, yes. And there's a Bloomberg story on it that the Department of Revenue raided the offices and carted off files and the rest. So there's intimidation.
Have you ever been raided? I mean, I would think you'd be first on the block.
No, but after we downgraded the U.S., we got a call from the SEC within two business days.
What did they ask you?
They said,
do you want to go fishing with Arthur Levitt?
They said, why did we downgrade? You know, what was behind it? Was there anybody? Did you tip off any of our clients beforehand? And the answer is no. We interpreted it as intimidation.
Were they intimidating? Were they cordial?
They have a lot more money than we do.
Okay, but you published your report. I mean, this is sort of like sell-side security analysis. You put it a sell rating. I'll pick on John Deere of Moline. Thank you, Ken. Moline.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And, it's, you know, somebody puts a hold or a sell on John Deere. John Deere doesn't call up screaming.
Well, you know,
it's part of the game.
That's very true. When we took a negative action on GE some 2 years ago, GE, even though they complained about it, they didn't threaten us. We took a minor negative action on Jefferies. We cut it one notch. I think it was from triple B to triple B minus. And the SEC called us and said, I was in Washington at the time at another conference, and they said, we have to speak to you immediately about this. And that's outside their normal purview. They're not supposed to get involved in rating opinions, the issuance of ratings, but obvious. But to their credit, this is a new area. So hopefully they will.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's a new area on both sides.
Critically, do you feel you're being treated in a balanced way compared to the three rating agencies that accept revenues from their customers?
Currently, no, but there's hope for change. Right now, the SEC is questioning a 2008 application. They have no problem with our 2009, 10, 11, or 12. They're saying that we didn't interpret the forms properly. My response is, if you had a problem, you should have told us about it right then and there, and we would have corrected it. Don't come back several years later and say that. And by the way, the S&P, Moody's, and Fitch were targeted by two congressional committees for being a primary cause of the financial collapse of 2007. Fortune magazine put us as being the main firm for warning about the credit crisis, and they put S&P, Moody's, and Fitch as aiding and abetting that credit crisis. It's not that different in Europe
now. We promise we'll do a remote from jail if you ever go there. We'll do surveillance.
I appreciate it.
Sean Egan, thank you so much. Just outstanding. Sean. Thank you for your Don't Go Fishing with Arthur Levitt. That concrete's for the engine mount.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.